Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined on the line by Andy Holding to look ahead to the Leopardstown card on Sunday afternoon. Fortunately, Leopardstown has passed an inspection on Sunday morning. And we've got a 7-race card to look forward to. Real mix, isn't there, Andy, of sort of competitive races, competitive handicaps. You've got the class in there of Volturi and the Novices Chase, and also some interesting maidens to kick off the card. Firstly, how are you, sir?
I'm pretty good, yes. Pretty good this bright and sunny morning.
Good. Frosty, though. I'll give you that.
Chilly, yeah. Very chilly, yeah. But frost in my world nowadays means less mud on the ground, so that means I don't have to spend hours getting the dog's feet clean.
Very true. And racing-wise, of course, it can be detrimental, but fortunately Leopardstown does go ahead today.
Yeah, the one thing it has done as well at Leopardstown, listening to Lorcan Wire, he's going reporting his update, Leopardstown early morning, courtesy of ATR, is that the ground's tightened up a little bit. It's got soft on the hurdles course in the official ground description in the racing post, and soft to heavy, soft in places on the chase course. But he reckons that the hurdle track will ride a little bit quicker than that, probably just yielding pretty much in most places, and also on the chase track as well. Probably ride a bit dead, but certainly won't be heavy anyway. So it is drying up quite nicely. They've had quite a breezy morning there, and racing on fresh ground, it should be perfect for racing today.
Okay, right, well, we'll dive into the action. We'll start with the 12:50, which is a mare's maiden hurdle over 2 miles. Certainly not the strongest race on the card, Andy, but there's a real mix here of sort of different types of mares, if you like. You've got Crystal Pearl and Bonnie Kate, both towards the head of affairs, both relatively unexposed in this sphere. Golan Road and Table Tips, anything but unexposed, but pretty consistent. And then you've got a few no-hopers, I think it's fair to say. But where should we start with this one?
Yeah, plenty of runners, but I think the cream should come to the top here anyway, hopefully. Crystal Pearl certainly sets a standard for me over hurdles so far. 4-year-old by Beat Hollow, useful horse in the UK, and now in the care of Charles Burns. Had an eye-catching run first time out in what seemingly was an ordinary maiden hurdle at Limerick, but as time has worked out, it wasn't a bad heat at all. The third, Social Riser, that horse went on to win Navan yesterday in pretty convincing fashion. And the winner, Versing Torix, represents, of course, the Gordon Elliott stable, responsible for last year's Triumph Hurdle win in the shape of Tiger Roll. And there's very much the expectation in amongst that yard that horse will certainly be as good, if not better, than Tiger Roll was last year. Of course, representing Simon Muneer, has got a whole host of good juveniles in his midst. So Crystal Pearl represents that form. You know, a 7.5-length defeat by that possible Grade 1 horse is certainly by far and away the best form on offer, as I said. And with the experience of also jumping hurdles already, albeit brush hurdles, I think she's very much the one to beat here, with obviously David Munnis taking off an extra 7. The one who's probably got the most class away from those that haven't performed over hurdles so far is Bonnie Kate. She's trained by Noel Mead and won quite well last time at Punchestown, making all the running. And Nina Carberry just wound the revs up, turning into the home straight and saw off a whole host of challenges, so she's got the right mental strength as well and capacity to make up into a decent horse in time. One or two others to mention as well. Heart in the Air, that horse has had a couple of eye-catching runs so far in maiden hurdles where it couldn't win, most notably last time out at Fairy House behind Thunder Zone. The third has won subsequently off his third, and won at Dundalk the other day in the old weather, so this horse also comes in good form as well. So quite an intriguing opener. But I'm going to stick with Crystal Pearl. I think that form down in Limerick is very good, and hopefully she'll improve with a better ground as well today.
Okay, Crystal Pearl getting a lot of weight as well, especially when you factor in David Mullins' claim in the opener. The 120 is next up. It's a maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. And it really isn't a particularly strong race, this, Andy. That's not to say that we can't find a bit of value and find a winner, but there's certainly no superstars in here. You wouldn't be thinking.
No, this is quite a weak maiden hurdle for Leopard Town standards, for anywhere standards, really, to be honest, in Ireland. We haven't got a Willie Mullins trained horse in there, and the sort of powerfulest stable represented here, Noel Mead's yard, Heck Thomas, didn't look all that great the other day at Cork when he never really went the gallop and tailed off quite readily. So we're really only left with one here, and it's got to be this Fletcher. 6-year-old by Western, trained by Edward Harty. He's had three runs in his life, one in a point-to-point, one in a bumper, and then his maiden hurdle run here at this track over the Christmas period was a real eye-catching run. He was given a very quiet time at the back door, but he did not make some good late eye-catching headway. Come, I mean, taking fashion from the last, he went home very strongly through the line in what I think was quite a decent maiden hurdle on that particular occasion. Won by Windsor Park, of course, who was a crack bumper horse last year, made his hurdling debut. He did the job workmanlike fashion, but I think there's a high hopes that Dermot Welshchild will make up into a Neptune horse this year at the Cheltenham Festival. The second highly regarded Royal Caviar, and Fort Smith is probably the linchpin horse in that race, because he went into the race rated 125. He managed to get himself beat at 7-1 on the other day, but he's that kind of horse. I think he's the kind of horse who'll run well in a good race, but get beat at short odds in a weaker race. We've already seen the form work out really well. Lena Raig, who finished 7th in that race, won subsequently the other day at Punchestown. So I think that form's okay, albeit it was a slowly run race. And I think the experience that he's had over hurdles, and A and B as well around the track on a similar surface, will certainly stand this horse in good stead. He's sure to improve both mentally and physically from that run. And I think if the green light's on go today, we could expect more fireworks from Fletcher this afternoon.
OK, Fletcher the pick then in the 120. The 150 is next up. It is a Grade 2 Novices Chase. 2 mile, 3 furlong the trip for this one. And just the three runners got a post, Andy, but Votor the one making all of the headlines. Of course, a little bit disappointing last time. I'm sure that any fans of Votor or Willie Mullins or Ruby Walsh will be willing to forgive the horse that one. Of course, Paul Tarnham was on last time. Beat Real Steel last time, who's the only danger here. Aladdin's Cave shouldn't really be getting involved. It should be a procession, shouldn't it, Andy?
It should do. Should be, really, shouldn't it? He's on a recovery mission, of course. I think that's the main objective today from the Willie Mullins Stables, to get him round, get him jumping well, get his confidence back, really. And it couldn't be any better, could it? It's a Grade 2 contest at a track where he's already got previous form. And, you know, he should be able to eye up his fences quite comfortably today. Real Steel's in the race, of course, to make it at least a competitive affair. I mean, he's not a bad stick, Myles Morris's charge. And, you know, he's already run it to a good standard as well. This will be no pushover. I wouldn't suggest that I'm going to want to be taking 8-1 on about Votor, because Real Steel, like I say, in his own right, he's okay. Third in a Grade 1 at Ferryhouse, the Drimmore course behind Vissor Lido. Okay, he was beaten by Votor last time out with that horse making a bad mistake, but, you know, he still cut out the donkey work himself, and, you know, stepping up in triple certainly suit him as well. So, albeit Votor, you know, should win, and, you know, we're expecting his career to get back on track. You know, he's just not a betting proposition. I think it's very much for sort of viewing and just to kind of weigh him up and gauge where he is with regards to the Arkle at the festival, if indeed that is going to be his target, of course, because Under Sue is very much the number one over 2 miles from the Willie Mullins camp as we stand at the moment. So a lot will be discovered this afternoon. He's obviously stepping up in trip. It might well be that the JLT at the festival is the race of Votor if he obliges this afternoon.
Okay. Fair enough. The 220 is next up. It is a Grade A handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Very competitive here, Andy. 5-1 the field at the time of recording. And I'd wager, of the 15 runners that remain in at the time of recording, which is about 9:20, I'd wager that you've probably tipped up every single one of these, or at least the majority of them, at some time in their career, haven't you? It's one of those races where there's quite a few old favourites in there.
Yeah, making me sound like John Budden there. Goodness me. I probably have, actually, in all fairness. And there's one that I've tipped up probably more times than the rest put together, and that's Follow Me Up to Carlo. And I'm not going to let down regular listeners of the podcast here. I'm a massive fan of Thomas Foley's 12-year-old. He's a bit of a favourite of mine, because he's basically won me so much money finishing in the frame. I've often put him up on podcasts at big prices, expecting him A, not to win, but B, to run well, and he's pretty much done that on most occasions. I tipped him last time out in a good handicap hurdle at Punchestown. And once again, he finished in the frame. He travelled quite well, but he just didn't have enough finishing kick off the bridle. to beat the more speedier horses on that particular occasion back over the smaller obstacles. But he is a really good chaser, and this is the kind of race that he really excels in. He wants a strong gallop. 2.5 miles is absolutely ideal for him. And the faster they go, the better. He's got a real sound jumper. He's never fallen in his life. And he does get dragged along quite nicely in these kind of races. And he's a kind of horse as well that has to be delivered late. Whether he's going to stick his head in front is anyone's guess, because he doesn't win very often. But he's just a really good, fun horse to back each way. He's going to be around about a 12-1 shot this morning. And, you could do worse and chuck a few quid each way at him, or perhaps place only. You know, of course, when a lot of firms now bet place only on their exotic market. So it certainly gives you a chance to make a few quid out of a horse like this. Plenty of other horses are fancied as well. Fox Rock, he's another horse I like. I think there's a big pot in Fox Rock as well. I do like Ted Walsh's charge. He jumps well, as he proved here last time out when he was second in the Paddy Power Chase. He just got outrun by Living Next Door, who came with a withering run late on. But it was a fantastic run with top weight. Whether a drop back to 2.5 miles is ideal for him, I'm not sure, because I do see him as a Grand National horse further down the line. So whether he'll have the tactical speed of some of those, I'm not so sure. He'll remember, of course, took this race last year, and he looks as though he's got his timing exactly right with the win the other day, albeit fortuitously in the stewards' room at Punchestown over hurdles. You know, you throw in the likes of Degora, Down Ace, Frederici as well, who's now stepping back up in trip, and this is a really head-scratching race for a lot of punters. That's why I'm just going to play it safe and go with the horse that I know best, and go with Follow Me Up to Carlo each way.
OK, Follow Me Up to Carlo then in the 220. The 250 is next up. It's a Grade B handicap hurdle over 2 miles. And, this is definitely the most competitive race on the card. Andy, just the one non-runner at the time of recording. That's Captain Carlton Does Not Run. We're left with 24, though, and it looks a bit of a pinstickers job, this, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think, you could probably draw up a shortlist of 4 or 5 if you dig deep, and up probably even more than that. It's a classy affair. It's always run at a sound pace. You want horses technically that are very well handicapped or still got plenty of upside. And it's a race that is very much a traditional race in the Irish calendar. And a lot of trainers have done really well in this down the years. So I'm looking at yards that have done well. Obviously, Willie Mullins, he's won it 3 times. He started off the bandwagon rolling with Adamant Approach back in 2002. And Final Approach and, of course, Abbey Lane in 2013, where he's representatives. So anything that Willie runs here has got to be respected. And that brings me on to Clondor Warrior, of course, with Ruby Walsh on board. 17 watts turning out to be one of the key form lines with regards to my handicap form this season. The Ladbrook at Ascot, of course, won by Bayan. I think the better ground will suit this horse as well. He's a flat horse that wants a decent surface, so the drying ground will certainly suit him. So he's definitely got chances. You've got other horses in this race that have got recent current handicap form and novice hurdle form, such as Waxy's Dargle. Noel Meads, of course, he's got a good record in this race as well. He's won it twice. I like the way that horse travelled last time out, Waxy's Dargle, when he won at Fairy House, and the form has worked out quite well. I think he's the kind of horse that will run well in a race like this, where the pace is hot from the start. And, of course, Paul Carberry is just the man on board to creep his way through a big competitive field. Katie T, she's a fancy quite a few. She's a good winner here at Leopardstown on the flat, and warmed up for this race with a good run down in Fairy House the other day behind Shanto Ed. Shanto Ed, of course, won here last time out at Leopardstown. But that Shanto Ed brings me on to my number one selection in this race, and he's going to be my nap of the afternoon. Jessica Harrington is synonymous with this race down the year. She won it in 1996 with Dance Beat. She's also won it with Studmaster in more recent times with Citizenship. So it's a race that is very dear to Jessica Harrington's heart, and it looks as though she's prepared Rock the World especially for this race, a horse that I've got a massive amount of time for. He first came onto my radar when he finished third behind Free Expression in that Grade 2 contest down in Navan, and that race worked out really well for us on the podcast in one or two runs afterwards. Rock the World himself went on to win next time and in Punchestown, and then he got beaten that aforementioned right behind Shanto Ed. But A, I think the ground was a little bit too heavy for him, and B, he made a really slow jump at the last. He was coming to beat Shanto Ed. I actually backed Shanto Ed that day, but I think Rock the World would have probably beaten him with a good jump, but he kind of stuttered into it and come out of the last hurdle with a length deficit, and he couldn't quite reel back Pat Fahey's charge. But I'd certainly give him the benefit of the doubt. I'll give him another chance. He'll love the ground today. It's drying out all the time. The faster the better his chances. He's a real smooth traveller. He jumps well. He's a very consistent type. And he's around about a 14-1 poke on the morning line this morning. Barry Geraghty's been booked. No disregard to Robbie Power, but I'm a massive fan of Geraghty in these big races. So I've got a huge, huge respect for Rock the World. I'm expecting a massive run from him, and he's my nap on the afternoon.
Okay. The 320 is next up. It's the penultimate race on the card. It's a handicap hurdle over 3 miles. Another quite competitive race here, Andy, but we've got a fairly short price market leader in Maidorf for Tony Martin and Ruby Walsh. 9-4 at the time of recording, and takes quite a chunk out of the market here, Andy. It's the kind of race where, you know, you're either going to have to go all in on the market leader, but it does open the race up for some nice each-way value.
Yeah, doesn't it just? Yeah. I quite like playing in these races now when Tony Martin's got a short one, because he's not probably as so prolific as he used to be in these kind of races. Yes, he does have quite a few winners, of course, every now and again, but I think his odds or his horses always put in a little bit too short for me. It's very much like the Sir Michael Stout, the Jeremy Nasseed effect that we have over here in this country in handicaps on the flat, where it's in the rule book, really, that a Tony Martin horse should be put in favourite. It just depends on what kind of punter you are and how short you're prepared to take about one of his horses. But I do think he's a nice horse, Maidorf, but whether he's a 9-4 shot this morning, he's certainly open to debating against this field. Yes, he did win quite well last time out at Fairy House, but he's been put up subsequently, and this is a much deeper race. He's just not the kind of horse I want to be backing at short price. I'll certainly take it on the chin if he wins. But I do think one at the top of the weights here has got another major chance of adding to his already decent career history here. And that's Usual Smurf at the top weight from the Hanlon camp. This horse won the Pertemps qualifier here over the Christmas period in pretty decisive fashion. Love the way he moved through that race. And he quickened on demand as well going out the last. And I thought he was a real ready winner in the end. He pulled nicely clear of off the charts. And the two of them were miles clear of the rest in what turned out to be a really good final circuit time. They ran the last circuit equally as fast as the grade one on the same card won by Lieutenant Colonel, of course, with Jetson in that big duel. So they went at a good pace, and the way this horse stayed on suggests that I think he's on the upgrade. He's only been put up £8, which is not too much of an inconvenience. And I think actually this horse might need to win again to actually get into the Cheltenham Festival. So those thinking that he hasn't got any sort of chance, or that, you know, he won't be at it again, if you like, then I think you need to think again. He'll probably want to get into the 130s to make sure that he lines up at the festival now he's qualified for the final. So the course and distance form is king here at Leopardstown. And Usual Smurf at 10-1 this morning. I'd have this horse in way, way shorter than that. Has to be the each-way bet.
OK, the final race on the card comes up at 3:50. It is a bumper over 2 miles. And unsurprisingly, that there's a fairly short price favourite here for Willie Mullins. Balco De Flow? What are we going with here, Andy?
Oh, we'll go with De Flow.
De Flow. Obviously, short price, very respected connections. Even money at the time of recording. But just on sort of breeding, and there's a few perhaps slightly likely types in opposition here. It may not be the cakewalk that it sometimes is for the Mullins charges in these kind of races.
Yeah, I mean, they got one beat yesterday that Ruby Walsh tipped on the morning light, so it's always not in tablets of stone that these bumper horses from the Mullins stable do win first time out. There can be the odd blemish on the CV, and you know, even though this horse, of course, has got to be respected, it's not an absolute penalty kick by any stretch of the imagination. Reading Willie Mullins' comments in the Racing Face yesterday, he says he's a nice horse by Balco, makes his debut in a bumper, and he's a half-brother to Salo Flew, of course, is a good horse for the Davy Pipe stable. He goes on to say he's doing the right things at home. It's hard to gauge these bumpers, and the market is often the best pointer. He just says this fellow's done things nicely, though. So, you know, he's not telling you a great deal there, and we're very much in the dark how good he can be. But the one thing I think we will find out here is Jet could give him the most to think about here. And he's 5-2 with William Hill this morning. Could be quite a tantalising price, that. He comes from the same line, of course, as Jetson, who's been a real favourite and a stable stalwart for the Harrington camp over the years. And, of course, the same owner as is represented here with this gelding by Flemingsfirth. Like I say, he's nicely been. I think Jetson actually won this bumper many years ago, if my memory serves me correct. So it's obviously a race which is dear to Jessica Harrington's heart. And it wouldn't surprise me if she gives the favourite plenty to think about in the last.
OK, so we're going to go with Jet?
We're going to go with Jet.
OK, Jet the pick then in the lucky last. Great stuff, Andy. Best of luck with all of your picks in Leopardstown today. It promises to be a really fascinating day of action. And we'll catch up with you later in the week.
Thanks, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.